Shavua Tov, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Megillah is daf Chav Zayin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, and we were just in the middle of the Machlokas about the question of Beit HaKnesset to a Beit HaMidrash, or a Beit HaMidrash to a Beit HaKnesset. So there was a Machlokas, Rav Papi and Rav Papa, bringing the Lashonis of Rava, about which one is Mutter. And according to Rav Papi, Rava said that a Beit HaKnesset is not as Kodesh as a Beis HaMedrash, and therefore you could sell a Beit HaKnesset in order to have a Beis HaMedrash, because that's a Mokum of Limud Torah. Whereas Rava said in terms of the Inyonim of the Dvorim Shel Kedusha, this may have something to do, although I didn't see anybody relating it to it, this may have something to do with the Machlokas that we had about what the Mokar of the Kedusha, the Beit HaKnesset is. In other words, is it a getter of an extension of the Divrei Kedusha that are said in it? Or is it a Kedusha of a Chavetz Shel Mitzvah? That was a Machlokas. The latter Shita was the Ramban. The previous Shita was the Ran. And that would have implications to the Gabi this as well, which is Nogea, how to understand the Gemara here. But in any event, so we have two different Lashonis of Rava. According to Rav Papi, a Beit HaKnesset can be sold for Beit HaMedrash, and Omer Avach, today we're right on the bottom last three words, I think that's where we got up to, Omer Avacha, the halacha is Kavasi, the Rav Papa, is much more Mistavra, because that it's actually mutter to sell the Beit HaKnesset and to buy a Beit HaMedrash, or to switch it for its usage. Omer Rav Yishu ben Levi, Beit HaKnesset mutar lasoto Beit HaMidrash Shema Amino, because we find that even Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was matir this, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was somebody that it's very unlikely that they would argue with. He's from the earliest Gedalim, and because of that, it's reasonable that that's the pshat. Tosfos even brings a raya from here that we see that in the event that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, since we're bringing a raya over here, so even though Rabbi Yochanan argues, it seems that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would actually be the way that we would paskin against Rabbi Yochanan. So this machlokas actually is nogea, how we understand the pasuk, Dorash bar kapara. My dechsiv, how do we understand the we have the whole nevias in Melachim about what Nevuzadron is going to be destroying in Yerushalayim. So it says over there, things isn't so clear what it is. Vayisrof et Beit Hashem, v'et Beit HaMelech, v'et ko batei Yerushalayim. And then it says, v'et ko Beit Gadol, not Bayit Gadol, Beit Gadol, Sorav Be'esh. So what exactly does that mean? Okay, so the Beit Hashem, that's pretty clear, refers to the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMelech refers actually to the palace. Et ko batei Yerushalayim, kipshutei. That means the city as a whole. But what is the meaning of et kol beit gadol sarav be'esh? So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and this is the same issue that we had before, chadam rabokam shemegadlim bo Torah. So beit gadol is a lotion of a place that we grow things in. And to grow things in, that's growing Torah. V'chadam rabokam shemegadlim bo tefillah. That no, it actually means a place in which we're able to grow tefillah, because both of those things is something that needs to grow and it needs to be developed. You don't just sit there with the same Torah and you don't just sit there with the same tefillah. So therefore, didn't want to say a Bayit Gadol. Beit Gadol means a house of Gidol, like a Beit Merkachat. So this is a Beit Gadol, a Mokum of Gidol. It's a beautiful insight into the nature of what is done in a Beis HaMedrash, what is done in a Beit HaKnesset. It's not just the place where things are done, the place where things continue to grow. So, Mandi Omar Teira, where do we see the Lashon of Gidol? Simple. Teira, Hashem, Chafetzim, Ansetor, Yagdil Teira v'yadir. So the increasing presence of Teira, the Yagdil Teira, is that strengthen. And that's what the Bayit Gadol, Beit Gadol would mean. Whereas Mandi Omer Tefillah Dichtiv Saprana Hagdolot Asher Asah Elisha. Tell us over some of those amazing things that Elisha did, and because of that, which is, you know, this is like Achav asking Gehazi that he should, this is after, this is the last guy you want to talk. But anyway, so, okay, if it's Achav, I guess we'll go to Gehazi to get a little bit of an insight here. Tell us some of these amazing things that Elisha, your Rebbe, did. Now, it uses the word dolot. And everything that Elisha did, he did through Rachame. Amazing. How do we know that everything that he did Barachami? I mean, after all, I mean, we find in the Gemara that they used the Shem Hashem specifically to be Mechayim Esim or to make the Sefer Yetzirah. So there's a number of different approaches. First of all, there's a Gemara, there's a Yerushalmi that says that anybody who is Nehene from other people is not allowed to use the Shem Hashem. Now, Elisha is Dafka, the one that the Gemara in the Bavli says, Harotzeh lehenot yehena ke Elisha. Because Elisha, the Dafka, accepted what it was that was made for him, the little Aliyat Kir and so on. So you see that that's okay, says the Gemara. You can, even though we're going to see later today, the meaning of not to accept gifts and so on. But Harotzeh lehenot, if somebody wants chibur to you and wants to be, you want to be nene from them, you can't. So therefore, it must be that he didn't use the Shem Hashem. Other inyanim are that, you know, if he would have used the Sefer HaYetzirah, so we saw in the Gemara that that individual can't talk. Sefer HaYetzirah can't give the keach of the Ruach Memalala. So that wouldn't have been very useful for Elisha to be Mechaya, his child, Sefer HaYetzirah. Okay, so it's clear that he did it Barachmi. Anyway, so it doesn't say over here who said what, but now that we see that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Shub and Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, so now I understand who said what. Tistayem, that it must have been Rabbi Shub and Levi who said it's makom shemegadlim bo Torah, because it's referring to the Beit Gidol. What is the greatest Gidol? The Yom Rabbi Shub and Levi. Beit HaKnesset mutar la'asoto Beit HaMidrash. So you see that is considered to be the greatest, and therefore that would be the way that we understand it, with the double meaning. It's the greatest of the Beit Gidul, and therefore it would mean Bedavka, the Beit HaMidrash. Okay, continues on in the Mishnah. Machru Torah lo yikhu svarim. So you cannot be yored b'kedusha. Okay, that's all very nice. But you didn't tell me. See, it's very interesting that the Mishnah seems to take two extremes. So one of which is the buying something. If you're going to sell it, you sell it in order to buy something that is a higher Kedusha. And then it talks about the Isser. You can't sell something and then use it to buy something of a lesser Kedusha. But what about the same Kedusha? The Mishnah is avoiding that exact case. So what's the din? Iboilu. So what would be the din? Do we say that the whole point of here is that you could only be matir mechira in order to be eila b'kedusha, and therefore given to lo mali le'asur, so since you're not creating a higher level of kedusha, then it must be asur? Or do we say no, there's nowhere else to go? The highest level of kedusha you have is a sefer Torah. So what exactly would you be able to do other than to simply buy another Sefer Torah? So then maybe it's mutter, and it's only where there's an option that we said you have to be Malim B'Kedush. So in other words, we're taking for granted you cannot sell things for the same level if there is a way to be Malim B'Kedush. The question is, what if it's not possible to be Malim B'Kedush because there is no higher level of Kedusha? So let's take a look at the Mishnah. Now, obviously, we know that the Mishnah is not going to, the Gemara always does this. It talks through the implications of a Sefer or a Reisha to indicate that we see that this is not what the Mishnah is referring to. So it says in the Mishnah, Mochru Torah loikhu Svarim. Aha! Svarim udalo. So apparently the only problem is to go down. Because if you're buying Sifrei Nevi'im, or Ketuvim, so then you're going downwards. But Mashmah, if you wouldn't be going down, HaTorah, Shapir Dami. To go directly and to buy another Sefer Torah, Lechora, would be mutter based on the Mishnah. Yeah, but the Mishnah is talking about where it was sold. That's all it's talking about, right? It says, Mochru Torah. That's not what we're talking about. I want to know whether you're allowed to be Mochru Torah. So this is, if you did, I understand, okay. Obviously, if you did, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you can only use it for something the same level of Kedusha. That does not explain what I'm asking. Can you sell? So you want to buy a nicer ksav. So you want to sell one Sefer Torah to buy another one. Is that mutter? Tashma, golalin Sefer Torah b'mitpachot chumashim. You're allowed to use a wrapping, so a design tick, in order from a chumash, you could take that and put it on a Sefer Torah. And you can put on a chumash, mitpachot nevi'im uktuvim. Now this is talking about, according to the Rambam, only scrolls. Because according to the Rambam, chumashim that are not scrolls, for sure, we don't give them any kedusha. Other Rishonim learn that if they're scrolls, they have elements of kedusha sefer Torah. So a chumashim b'mitpachot v'im v'ktuvim, but you can't take a mitpachat from a chumash and use it for wrapping a tanach, a chumash. And lo chumashim b'mitpachot sefer Torah. You can't take a mitpachat from a sefer Torah for a chumash. What does this have to do with us? Because the Brisa is saying that you can be goyel a sefer Torah b'mitpachot chumashim. Why does it say b'mitpachot chumashim? It should say you're allowed to be goyel one sefer Torah utilizing any other sefer Torah's mitpachat. And that there's no need to have a specific kedusha of this Sefer Torah for this Sefer Torah. So then if that's the pshat, then it's telling us that you cannot use it, or you can only use a Sefer, a Chumash for a Sefer Torah, but you can't use another Sefer Torah for a Sefer Torah. So then that would mean the same way that I can't take the mitpachat from one Sefer to another, so then I obviously can't take the Kedusha of the Sefer itself and substitute for another by buying another with it. No. Because, you see, yes, if that's all it said, you'd be right. But you didn't quote the whole Braisa. Ema Sefa, v'lo chumashim b'mitpachot Sefer Torah. You weren't medayik that. Sorry, you quoted. But you weren't medayik that. Mashma, the only problem is that you cannot use a mitpachat of a Sefer Torah for a chumash. Mashma, that you could use a mitpachat of a Torah for a Torah. As long as it's not the mitpachat of a Torah for a chumash. Aha, so Torah for Torah is mutter. So you see from here that this Brice is not addressing that problem of shoveh. So let me all like a lemishma minas. We can't learn from here either. Okay, how about this? Tashma, minichin sefer Torah agabe Torah, v'torah agabe chumashim. You're allowed to take a sefer Torah and put it on top of another Sefer Torah. But you're not allowed to take you could take a Torah also, of course, on Chumashim, and you could take Chumashim on Nevi'im V'Ketuvim. But you can't put Nevi'im V'Ketuvim on Chumashim, and you can't put Chumashim on a Torah. So again, according to the Rambam, Chumashim never have the same Kedusha as a Sefer Torah. According to the Rashba, if they're actually made big lila, they have a Kedusha of the Sefer, which is a lot of problems with that. But according to this, then Lechora would be usher to put any other things on top of even Chumashim, at least if we're talking about Asuyim big lila. So if it would be made as a scroll, is the way that that the Rashba is mefarish the Dvarim. And then there does not seem to be any difference, as you can see from here, about Ketuvim versus Nevi'im. It's only Torah, Chumashim, and Nevi'im Uktuvim. And as a matter of fact, it's even mutter to put together a Sefer Torah, meaning to attach Nevi'im Viksuvim in one volume to a Sefer Torah as well, as we see for the Gemara and Baba Basra. Now the question is, what about what we call books, books that are printed? Now those things certainly don't have the Kedusha of a Sefer, but nonetheless, the Peskim, like Rav Meisha and other recent Peskim, taina that Svarim that are printed, other things should not be put on top of things that are printed. Not only that, but they also are noyek some of the inyanim, like just like an Aron Kodesh for the Sefer Torah, there's a getter of the Aron HaSvarim for the Svarim. And this would be Nogea also selling Svarim. So in other words, can you sell your Svarim? Or can you give your Svarim away as a gift? Or is that the equivalent of selling a Sefer Torah? So I'm basically, if it's not, this is Ramesha Paskins, if these are Svarim that you don't need because you have another Sefer that will serve it, or obviously today you have access to the Sefer on the internet. So therefore, you no longer feel constrained at needing the Sefer. So then it would be mutter. That's based on the idea of it being all, like all cheftzei mitzvah. All cheftzei mitzvah are not going to maintain their kedusha when you no longer need them for the mitzvahs. We already saw. We spoke about even being allowed to throw things out. It's a very interesting thing that they point out, the nafka mina between, I think it's the Meir Shiloh, I'm not sure. But the difference between Noach and the way in which he is not referred to with Kedusha afterwards, he becomes an Ish Tzadik, he becomes an Ish Adama. Whereas Meir Rabbeinu, from a Bishagamu Basar, becomes an Ish Elohim. That's good for the difference, that the Chefza of Mitzvah is true of Noach, but as soon as he was finished being used for his mitzvah, so therefore it was thrown away, so to speak, because the mitzvah doesn't continue to provide for you. It's Torah that continues to provide for you. So Meshur Abinu, with the whole concept of Meshur Abinu, is as a cheftz of Kedusha. So over there he's constantly going up. Masha Ein Kein, cheftz shel mitzvah, as we saw, can be put into the ground. It's a very, very beautiful nekuda. Anyway, says the Gemara, so if it says over here that you're allowed to put a Torah on top of a Torah, so then you should be able to sell a Sefer Torah to buy a Sefer Torah, right? No, says the Gemara, of course not. It's not comparable. Hanacha Kamer, what are you talking about? Putting one thing on top of another, that doesn't prove anything, because obviously when you're talking about putting things on top of another, tell me something. When you wrap the Sefer Torah, aren't you putting one Parsha on top of the other Parsha? What exactly are you supposed to do if you don't put one thing on top of another? So obviously, how would you be able to wrap even a single Sefer Torah? But the point, aren't you putting one daf? You're putting one daf on top of another daf. So the point is that this is the way Sefer Torah is made. So then, okay, then that means that when it comes to Hanocha, we obviously cannot set down rules about the Hanocha of a Sefer Torah to Sefer Torah. It's a given in the whole way we construct a Sefer Torah. Okay, so therefore, Kivin Delo Efshar Shari. So then over here, we're not going to start making, well, there are times where you could, if you have space, and then you're allowed. We're not going to make that kind of difference. But don't bring a raya from that to be matir selling. There's no connection. Okay, so let's see. Tashma. How about from here? It doesn't matter, Benny. Even though they're upright, still the bottom line is, first of all, they're sometimes put down. And secondly, the one that is on top in that sense would be the one that is most accessible to you. So Omar Rabba Barbachon, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo yimkor adam sefer Torah yashan lekach bo chadash. So he says over here, beferish, don't sell a sefer Torah in order to buy a new sefer. No, says the Gemara, you think that's beferish. It's not, because there's another issue over there that may be involved, and I'm not asking where that issue is involved, namely pshiyuta. So hata mishum pshiyuta. Look, we already saw that concept with the Beit HaKnesset, right? We don't allow you to get rid of something that's necessary with the promise that we're going to be making something else. So we're worried. How do we know you're going to carry out the promise? Okay, that's pshiyuta. I'm saying I've got a sefer right here at the sofer. I don't have the money to pay for the new sefer. And all I want to do is sell my old sefer, take the money and give it to the sofer. So over there, we don't have to be chayish l'pshiyuta because the sefer is already written. And therefore, ki kamrina kugon de kosivu monach, de yifriki, I want to pay it, so to speak. In other words, I need the cash in order to get that sefer. So that's the question. If I don't have to worry about pshiyuta, can I, basically what I'm saying is exchange one for one, or it's only mutter in the case that malin bekedesh, and it's not just usur because of ein morinin. Okay, toshma. Domer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir, ein mochrin sefer Torah, ela lilmot Torah velisa isha. You're only allowed to sell a sefer Torah for actual learning of Torah, or to marry. Shema mina Torah b'Torah, shaper dummies. You see, you can sell a sefer Torah to learn Torah. No, come on, it's not the same at all. Learning Torah may be 100 times more chashuv than having a sefer Torah. What is it? That's like all these people that believe that all you need to do is go out and buy that exercise bicycle and you'll lose weight like crazy. How many people do that, right? I mean, gosh, they spend thousands on all of those machines and they're so disappointed when nothing happens. I guess nobody warned them that you have to actually use the machines. So it's the same thing when you say you're going to buy a sefer Torah. That's great. Now, what's that going to do for me? So if you're going to be learning, okay, so then maybe sell the sefer Torah to learn. That doesn't mean you can buy another sefer Torah. There's not much use in terms of what it's going to do for you, is there? So Dilma Shine Limud. I mean, Limud is different. Limud is maybe Lide Maisa, and that's like all of the segulas of Limud. So it could be that for that, you're selling it basically for something that's more kaddish. You're saying, I don't have a chefzer shel kedusha, but I have things that are more valuable. And isha nami, isha could be because it's more valuable, because it says, lo tohu v'ra'a, l'shevet yitzara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for it to be inhabited. According to which, this would be the guess, since we're bringing the pasuk of tohu, so then it would mean that even somebody who was already Mekayim Piri of Arivya would be allowed to sell the Sefer Torah in order to have a wife. But it could well be that Torah b'Torah, absolutely not. So basically, the Gemara has left this as a open question, right? And so because of that, it's basically a suffix. And because of that, we're machmer, in fact, not to do it. And because it involves the Kedusha Sefer Torah and so on, so even if you hold it to Safek Drabbanan about Mechira, still, we're very machmer on this issue, unless there's other things that are taken into consideration. Tana Rabbanan, lo yimkor adam Sefer Torah, even if you got a lot of Sefer Torah, you don't need it. You can't sell one of them. Alfa b'shenu tzorech lo, more than that. Yeto akeinom reb shemem gamli afilo in lo ma yochal. Even that person has nothing to eat, if he sells a Sefer Torah, or he sells his daughter as an Oma Ivriya, in order to survive, in a roi simen brocha liyoyl. If the question is if he's literally going to die, that already they're matir. And also in the Yerushalmi, it says, b'chtechayev, you're allowed to, so some learn it, that's not a machlokas, but most learn it is a machlokas, according to Yerushalmi, for just getting along, you don't have any money. Okay, so it could be that it's a machlokas, Bavli Yerushalmi. And says the Mishnah, this is true, v'chein b'motrehem. Amar Rava, this business of b'motrehem, leftovers, now, that's only where they had something that was kodesh, and they sold it, and now there was money left over from the sale, and you bought with the money that you had. You already used it for bringing Malin B'Kodesh. You got something that was more Kodesh. And there it says, okay, but since it was already Kodesh with the Kedusha of the higher thing, it can't be reduced. Avogavu Vohotiru. The Maisi, you made a special collection for something, and it turned out you didn't need all of that money. So then it would be Mutter, even for things that are not of that darga, because it was never miyuchad yet for that thing. It didn't have an actual kedusha. The truth is, there's a machlokas we've shown him as to what the inyan is, whether it has to do with the way that people were thinking lechatchila, that they don't want to give it for if it isn't really necessary. So because of that, it doesn't matter. We can use it mamish even lechulin, or whether because they don't get the chashivas of the chumrah in terms of malin b'kedesh v'lo moridin, but they still have the basic kedusha. You can't just use them for chulin. That's a machlokas. Eisvei Abai. The question is whether Rava is right, Bichlal, because the Braisa says, when do we say that you have to be Malin Bekedesh? That's only if they didn't make it tonight. They didn't make it tonight that they want to sell and use it for Chulin. Aval Hisnu. If they said that they would use it even for Chulin, I feel a little duchsusia mutter. What a duchsusia is, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. So you could use it even for a duchsusia. So now, tell me what the case is, and I'll show you why I feel that you'd have no choice but to admit that this does not work, aliba de rava. So tell me, says Abaya, hechidami. What do you think the case is talking about? Are we talking about over here that they had something that was Kodesh, they sold it, and they had the leftovers, right? You can't make a Tanai on something that was already Kodesh. So what would be the point of saying Hisnu? What is Hisnu? Hisnu makes sense when you're coming now to create the Kiddush. You can say, okay, so I don't have in mind to do that. But if it was already Kodesh, so what would be the point of saying Hisnu? Whatever it is that you got for the sale has the Kedusha by definition of what it was that you sold. Ella, it's got to be that the price is talking about that you had made a special collection and there was leftover money. And it says there is a way that you can use the leftover money if and only if Hisnu. But if you did not make a condition, then there would be no way to use that money. But according to Rava, the whole din doesn't apply. You don't need Hisnu. The whole din doesn't apply to the case where it was a original Magbit. It only applies to where it was a sales. It's clearly not like Rava. So you see that lo hitnu lo. No, says the Gemara, not true. Lo olam shimachru votiru. Could be talking about the way Rava's insisting. You had something that was Kedesh. You sold it. You have leftovers after you bought a Malin B'Kodesh thing, right? But even Hisnu will make a difference, because what it's really saying is not that you stam made a Tanai. Anybody makes a Tanai. You can't stam make a Tanai. Obviously, what the Kedusha was already there. But didn't we say that in a case where you have the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, B'Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir, that they are able to completely take off the Kedusha, certainly where the Rashi was learning it, totally take off the Kedusha. In which case, why wouldn't that work over here? Let's just talk about for one moment this idea of the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. So first of all, halacha, the idea of Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir is not limited to Shiva necessarily, seven. Halacha l'maisa. So in other words, we are talking about most of the inyanim, it's the question of who the town council is. So if people were willing to elect five people or three people that on their das, they would handle the affairs of the town, they're the ones that are called the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. Furthermore, the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir does not necessarily mean that they're the biggest Talmidei Chachamim or whatever. It just means the people that are generally the ones that take care of things. So that they may be the leading businessmen, there may be people that have dedicated themselves to the inyonim of the tzibur and so on. But that's what it means. It's not a halacha specifically about some Torah leadership necessarily, although as we'll see, there are inyonim. We already saw before the people give money al-das for yeshiva, then it's al-das, maybe the rosh of the yeshiva and so on. But for this, it's Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. Why do you need both Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir and Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir? So Rav Moshe understands that there's two different inyanim, and he uses this as a paskin very often. Binogea, these questions about shuls, which during Rav Moshe's period, it was extremely relevant because of the changes in neighborhoods, the rapid changes in neighborhoods, and some really painful questions about selling shuls, where the only way you could sell a shul was to a church. And then the question was, you know, chlal is mutter to sell for a church, but otherwise they wouldn't have a shul in the new neighborhoods. Very, very bitter machlokas about those things. So the Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir means that even if the Tuvei Ha'ir are given rishus in terms of the monetary issues, that doesn't mean that they can determine that we don't want to use the shul anymore. In other words, the kedusha of the shul as a mokum that is going to be used for divrei kodesh is dependent on whether people are going to use it. Like even if you have a tail of the Beit HaKnesset, and it maybe it's 50 years old, and it's in your backyard, and you want to use that was the case that we had. You still have to go and be kind of from the Shiva Tuve here, together with the people in the city. Because as long as there is a desire on the part of individuals in town to continue to be able to use this as a Beit Knesset by rebuilding it, so the Shiva Tuve Ayir can't change that, so that's not going to take away the Kedusha of the Beit HaKnesset. If you have an agreement that we no longer will be using this Beit HaKnesset, that's also not meaningful, because it can change their mind. But if you have an agreement that we're not going to be using this Beit HaKnesset, and it's actually sold monetarily by the Shiva Tuve Ayir, then you've addressed both issues. And then, and only then, you can actually take off the Kedusha. So therefore, in the case, and that's what our brisa means, when it says hitnu, it doesn't mean stam, you made a tanai. It means that the Shiva Tuve Ayir in the presence, b'mamad anshei ayir, that then they said that it would be mutter, even the duchsusia. Abaya did not know what that word duchsusia was exactly. So he asked not somebody that was the Rav or anything else. He asked one of the Talmidim who used to be always in front of Rav Sheshes, and he, the derech was that they would have specific tanoim, not in the sense of a tana as opposed to an amora, but tanoim, people that were basically, they still had a guy like this in Ponovich, very interesting. This was before the age of computers. The tanoim were computers. So they had the janitor in Ponovich was a Taimani. And he knew the entire Rambam and the entire Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, Baal Peh, which was the derech of the Taimani. They didn't have Sfarim, and they used to learn things Baal Peh. So whenever anybody needed something, he would go to the janitor and would ask him, what does the Rambam say about it? And the guy would repeat the halacha. So that's the getter of the Tana. He doesn't necessarily, he's not in such a matzav in which is a big Talmud Chacham and so on. So Abaye, instead of going to a big Talmud Chacham, he went to one of the Talmidim, who was Mesader Masnisa Kameder Rav Sheshes. He used to say over brises. So it was a Tana. So Mishmiel Chacham Rav Sheshes, my Dichsusia, maybe you asked while you were saying over. I mean, you must have been curious. Did you hear from him what a Dichsusia is? He said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. Rav Sheshes says that a duch susya is a parasha demata. He's basically the postman. He's the guy that they use in town for delivering mail, delivering messages. And whenever you need a vehicle in the town, you have a vehicle available. So that's the duch susya. So it's a devar chulin, and it would be mutter to use it even from that. And by the way, says Abaye, you know what you see from here? Hilkach ait surba mirabbanan. If you have a Talmud Chacham that he hears something and he hears a word and he has no idea what the word means, so where should he go to get a good definition? He should ask one of these guys who's often learning with the big Talmud Chachamim, and he's saying over things, and therefore he overhears pshatim. Because if you ask him, somebody who hangs around in that kind of situation, for sure he picked up at one point or another what the definition was. That's the right guy to ask. Now, when we're talking already about this issue of the responsibility for the utilization of tzedakah funds or of things that were community funds that we want to now sell, so there's another interesting issue, which is the collections of tzedakah. So Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Meir as saying that if you have b'nei ha'ir, sha'ochol ir acheret, some learn this means the entire city went on a visit, others learn it just means a minyan. So you had a group of people from one city, and they went to another city, and while they were in that other city, they were having this special collection for a tzedakah, and poskar lehem tzedakah, so everyone in town was mechuyev to give, let's say, $100 for a particular need. They have to give it, notnim, because otherwise it looks like they don't participate in giving tzedakah. So they give the tzedakah, but when they go back home, Kishayim ba'im, they are able to go and demand that the money should be utilized for things that are needed in their own community because they still maintain their presence as a community since they came over here as a community. By the way, I just want to mention, speaking of communities, because we had spoken about the idea of a Beit HaKnesset in a krach. So the Chabiner paskind that the only time that we're talking about krach is where it's like the central shul. Because there's two ways of understanding the sugya that we had before. But the Beit HaKnesset Shel Tarsin, whether that was a Yotzei Dofen kind of thing, or because it was specifically the Tarsin, we said that they couldn't participate because of the way that they smelled, and so they couldn't participate in the normal shul. But when we say that a large city, the Beit HaKnesset is supported by people that come, or it's created almanat to provide a place for people that come and to make an impression on people that come. Remember, that was about Machlokas Rishonim. And according to the Rush, it doesn't matter even if they don't support it. The people just had in mind that they want to make something that is presentable to the world as a whole. So the Chabiner points out that according to both approaches in the Rishonim, it would mean that communities that have a community shul, even if it is a krach gadol, the krach gadol refers to what they call the Beit HaKnesset HaMerkazi, whatever that is. So in other words, the shul that is created that everybody in town knows. If somebody asks, so where do I go to shul when I come to this dorf? And you tell them, here's the shul, the Beit HaKnesset HaMerkazi, that's where people go. That's the one that there's a problem of selling. But neighborhood shuls, and even if they're like very big shuls, but they're not the shul that represents the community, it would be mutter, actually, to treat them the way you would treat even a kvar. Okay, so anyway, getting back to this. So they are allowed to demand the money back, and they use it from Farnesim ba'aniye Iran. And it says in the Brayta, indeed, b'nei ha'ir shalchu le'ir acheret upasku aleihem tzedakah, just like Rabbi Yochanan was quoting Rabbi Meir, notani. But when they go to their own town, kishehem ba'in mevi'in otai mahem, they bring that money with them. However, if he's just a yachid, not the whole town or the minion, as we mentioned the machlokas, so then that is not given back to him because he's bottled to the tzibor where he is. He can't maintain that he's got a separate identity just as a yachid. Rav Huna was gozar atainis, and Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, the whole town of Rav Chana bar Chaniloi that were nearby, they came because they wanted to be part of the tainis that Rav Huna was geyser. And part of the tainis, they made an announcement that everybody has to give money for such and such a tzerech and Ramo alay tzedakah. And of course, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi and the whole city followed the halacha in the Braisa here, Alibid Rabbi Meir, and they gave the tzedakah. But with the understanding that they'd be able to get that tzedakah back when they were going back to their own town. Then, when they wanted to take it back, they said to Rav Huna, we're ready to go, so could Rebbe please give us back our money so we can use it for aniyei matan? And he said to them, no, you don't get back a penny, my dear friends. Ha-ha. Because, after all, Tanina, there's a brayta that says, Bamed, Devarim Amurim, when do we say that we make these adjustments to give back the money and that can be used for the other city? That's only Bisha Ein Sham Chaver Ir. That's where there isn't a Talmud Chacham who's in charge of all of the issues in the town. Avo Yesham Chaver Ir, Tina Tein L'Chaver Ir. If I understand that if their town council is making a charitable tax, then you don't live here, not subject to the town council. But you came over here to participate in a tainus that is being run by a Talmud Chacham, myself, and therefore we understand that when there is a participation, it means it's a participation. I'll leave it in my das, and that's exactly what it says in the Braisa. And by the way, in this particular particular case, I must say that it's obvious that you don't get anything back because kol shekein the aniyei didi viditchu alai semicho. I mean, we're talking about Ravuna over here. Ravuna didn't just take care of the immediate town where he was in charge. Ravuna, like, took care of the entire area. So any of your aniyim that are going to have problems are going to ultimately come here. And that means that for sure, I am the center of the tzedakah. You can't take the tzedakah from here and go to use it for the people that you happen to be in charge of. And now this brings us to our own Chover Ir, the actual kapitan. Go for it, Sir Richard.
Well, Rebbe drinks.
You can't sell a shoal, even if you're selling it to a person who's going to be using it as a mokum tefila. It's not as kadesh. So we don't want to be morid it. So that's going to be making it less kadesh. So tain is Rebbe Meir. Omer lo, said the Chachamim. I mean, so what is it? The number of people that defines the kedusha. So then, I mean, that would be true. Im kein af lo mi ir gedola liir ktana. So then, that means that you can't sell it for fewer people. When we talk about selling a Beit HaKnesset, it doesn't mean that we're going to pick it up and we're going to move it to a new town. Remember that the din of a Beit HaKnesset is nogea anything in the Beit HaKnesset, which raises a lot of problems. I'll point that out in a moment. But in other words, let's say you want to sell the furniture of the Beit HaKnesset and move that furniture to a Beit HaKnesset in another town. So then if the other town is smaller, so then according to Rebbe Meir, you're going to be married the furniture from its Kedusha. Because now there's fewer people that are going to be using it. I mean, is this really what Rebbe Meir is going to say? Then why does he say only from a Rabim to a Yochid? Now, this is a big problem because very often the furniture of a Beit HaKnesset is actually lent out for various purposes, like for Avelim, or it's lent out for a Simcha. And that's a question whether is it mutter bichlal to utilize the furniture for anything else other than for the tefillah. That's where it's there for the Beit HaKnesset. There's some shitas that say that all of this is nogea only where it's part of the actual shul, meaning it's bolted down, as is very common in shuls. You can't, you know, where you have the special furniture that's made for the Beit HaKnesset, it's not movable. I mean, it's movable, obviously, if you disconnect it from the ground, but it's attached to the floor. So some say that you can rely on that to utilize the elements of the Beit HaKnesset. And then we have that standard issue that many of the posts can rely on, which is, as I've mentioned before, we talked about it, about putting stuff on the bima. People put like Kleenex on the bima. I mean, for heaven's sakes, how can you do that? So, I mean, again, all of those issues, the standard limud schus on how that's done is that since this is the common behavior, therefore, it's ki'ilu they remas that for that purpose, lechatchila, when it was purchased. So that's what people rely on. Okay, anyway, isn't this a good point? Shaper Karmelei Rabbanan Rebbe Meir? I mean, what's Rebbe Meir going to say about this? It is definitely true, no? No, of course it's not true. Me'ir gedola le'ir ketana. Listen, what's the difference? Are you going to be laning there? Yes. You're going to be saying Kaddish there? Thank you. I understand. What's the difference? How many there are? Because Barovam, Hadras, Melech, that's not a difference in the Darg of the Kedusha. Mashenkein, if you're going to be taking it from a place where there's a minion to a place where there's a Yochid, so then there's no Kedusha. You're not going to be able to lane. You're not going to be able to say Kaddish. You're not going to be able to say Kedusha. So because of that, you're taking the elements of the Kedusha out of the Beit HaKnesset. Huh, that's a good point. So what do the Rabbanan say about that point? Say the Rabbanan, look, it is a good point. But the truth is that you cannot make that kind of distinction without needing to take into consideration the issue of Barov Am also. Because, I mean, certainly Kedusha is a getter of Kovet for the Beit HaKnesset. So, I mean, once you're going to be worried about the extent at which it's utilized, It's still a Beit HaKnesset, the Yochid is going to daven in there, but it's not going to have Kaddish. So then why don't we take into consideration, indeed, Beberov HaMadras Melech? So, Iika LeMechash, once you can't draw lines like that. So then, Kihai Gavna Namiika LeMechash, you should be concerned even for the lesser because of Berov HaMadras Melech. So therefore, we're tightening. If Rabbi Meir holds that we don't take that into consideration, then it shouldn't be taken into consideration even in this sense, even for losing its minion. Okay, it's time for Sir Richard. I just want to mention, in terms of losing a minion, I mean, this was something that Rav Moshe Zatzal also used to have to deal with very often, because it was very common for once a neighborhood empties out, they simply couldn't get a minion together most of the time in a shul. Now, so the question is, what is the equivalent of the Mechira of Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir B'Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir today? I mean, what do you make of Ma'amad of Anshei Ha'ir? So Rav Moshe Tainet that by definition, since the entire issue of the requirement for the Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir, the way he understood it, was that as if it's still going to be used or there's still a hope to be able to use it, and therefore the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir's sale is not going to be sufficient. So then Rav Moshe Tainet that in the event that you don't have a tzibur anymore, then it's Dover Poshet, that everybody is happy for the Beit HaKnesset to be transferred, because they're not going to be using, they're not going to be coming back here to Daven. And therefore, it's as if it was B'maimen Anshei Ha'ir. So anything that is determined by those authorities, the board, whoever had the rights to the monetary discrimination, it would be, by definition, considered to be in the presence of Anshei Ha'ir. And he relied on that heter, even for like very drastic kind of things where they needed it for things that were like even churches that were mevatel it. He also, by the way, relied on this in cases where there was a minyan, but there was no way to support the shul. So in other words, they had this enormous shul where the heating bills alone would be impossible for a tzibur of less than 100 people to pay. So they had a minyan, but there was no way that they could actually afford to run the shul. He considered that to be the equivalent of not having a minyan. And it would be as if all of the Anshei Ha'ir were masking that we simply can't do it. So if we can't do it, so then the Mechira with the ones who are in charge would be the equivalent of the Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir. There's also, by the way, a question about whether you need a unanimous decision by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. That's a whole discussion. And basically, halachically, what comes out is that if you're talking about something that is really a bizoyan for the Beit HaKnesset, and that you would want to be motzi, the Kedusha of the Beit HaKnesset entirely, then mi'ikar hadin, you really do need all of them. It has to be unanimous. It's only that we rely on a rov, usually, because we understand that most people are necha for the rov, but in this where it's bitter and there's an awful lot of problems in doing what you're doing, and there might even be suffix if he's surin, as Rav Asher brings it, there for sure it won't be chal unless you have unanimity. Okay, sorry there, Sir Richard. I just wanted to, since these are very nogea issues, I just thought it was kedai to bring up. Go ahead, Sir Richard. Ein mochrin Beit HaKnesset ela al tanai. So now, basically, remember that there are things that you're not allowed to sell for, which our Mishnah is going to describe. And the question is whether we're talking about specifically to a case where it's the people that are selling or the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir that are selling, but this does not include sales of the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir B'Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir. None of these specific restrictions apply, as I mentioned to you before, that we were semichet either, even for selling for things that are bizoyan. But there are those that paskin that, it would be true even, we don't paskin like that, but that even things that are bizoyan even b'shiva tuvei your b'maimeda, your wouldn't be chal. So what Rabbi Meir says is that if, and so halacha, if people are selling it on their own, or the tuvei yir is selling it on the own without the maimed anshei ha'ir, then it has to be sold on condition that it can be rebought if they want to. So in other words, if it turns out the population goes up and they'll have money and so on, so they make it tonight, we should be able to rebuy it. So says Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you're allowed to sell it permanently. So, but you can't sell it for things that are really low class in terms of the shul. Chutz mi'arba advarim. You can't sell it as a public bath. You can't sell it as a burski, which is a place where they tan skins and it smells and it's a place that people don't even go near because of the awful smell. Or as a mikveh. Or as a laundromat. So as, that's how most learn over here, lebeit hamayim means as a laundromat. Some say that it means, lebeit hamayim means mei raglayim. In other words, to use it as a bathroom. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, it's not your business. You sell it as a chotzer. The buyer does whatever the heck he wants. V'alokeach mashi yirtze yaseh. Once the sale is chal, so then it's chal. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, the fact that you sell it is not what's going to take off its kedusha. You do have to, I'm agreeing you would have to make it tonight. But once you do that, the buyer is not the one that has to worry about that. And he, therefore, would be allowed to use it for what he wants. So according to Rabbi Meir, you can make a tnai to rebuy. Ask the Gemara, how are you allowed to make a tnai to rebuy? That's ribis. So according to Rabbi Meir, echidai ribai. Understand, somebody's going to buy the shul and he's going to live in it. He's going to open his business in it, whatever. Then 5 years later, they say to him, well, sorry, but, you know, we've decided to buy it back, so here's your money back. Okay. So then that means that in exchange for lending them the money that he gave them ostensibly to purchase, he got free use of the shul for 5 years, and now he's getting his money back. That is basically rebate. They don't make any deductions for the use that he had for it. So it turns out that in exchange for allowing them to have use of his money for 5 years, they gave him 5 years of free usage. So then how are you allowed to do that? That's considered to be mamish. It turns out there never was a sale. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, yes, but this is Rabbi Meir going aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda's shita is the Omer Tzad Echad Beribit Mutar. That if it's only one chance out of others that it will end up being ribit, so then I understand that that looks like ribit, but sad echad beribit is mutter, because there's no guarantee that there's going to be ribit. You're just saying that it's possible that this would come out. That's the way Moshe does understand. Sad echad beribit is quite complex in terms of halacha, and it's late, and we'll just take the simple meaning. The Tanya, Aresha Yano Shebechave Romana, is somebody owes $100 to someone. Yeah, I lent you $100. I want this money. So what he does was, he doesn't have any money. It's obviously not usually just for $100. This is like a major sum. So he says, okay, look, I don't have any cash. Why don't I give you my field? So I'll give you my field. If I get the cash together, so then I'll buy it back. Okay, if I don't get the cash, let's say by 6 months, so then you keep it. So then the halacha is, bizman shemocher ochel perot. So when the guy continues, the guy who supposedly sell it, the guy who owed the money, continues to be nene from the field, then it's mutter. But if the person who had lent the money gets to use the field during the time that the creditor could still come back now, the guy who owes the money could still come back, then it's usher. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Even if lokech is ochel peros is mutter, and that is the case that we're talking about over here. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda, there was actually a maisa bebaitis ben zonin that he did this. He owed a lot of money. He gave his soda as a mecher, and he asked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said it's mutter, and the buyer was eating the peros, so you see that tzad echad beribis is mutter. Omru lo, misham raya. It's not, you're saying over the case wrong. It actually, that was not the reality. Mocher ochel perotu. Now, we know about that case. And the case over there, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was matir, was dafka, that the seller continued to be nena from the field. And what is the nafka mina between them and the machlokas here? Tzad echad beribis. Rebutal, tzad echad beribis is mutter, and the chachomim held that tzad echad beribis is osir. Whereas Rava says, no, that's not what they were arguing about. Everybody agrees tzad echad beribis is osir. What we're talking about over here is that the agreement was that we will repay you. So hachari bitamanat lahachzir ika beinayu, that if it turns out that it's going to be rebit, so then basically we'll pay it back, obviously. So you're taking the field and you're using it on condition that you're going to pay in the event that it turns out that it was a loan and not a sale. So Mar Sava ribita manat lahachzir is mutter, and Mar Sava, even with the understanding that it'll be paid back, it's usher. And the chachomim omri mochrin oto mimkar olam, you could sell it. Omri vira meshmuel mutter lodom lahashtin mayim betoch arba mashal tvila. You're allowed to urinate within, seems to be saying, within 4 amas of a place where somebody davened. Omrav Yosef, place where somebody davened. My Kamash, I understand. We just had a Mishnah where Rabbi Yudah says, Mochrino talashum chatzer, v'lokech mashir tziyase. You don't have to worry about the fact that other people davened there. That's even a Beit HaKnesset. And the Rabbonin that answered, they only answered it because it was a Beit HaKnesset. Well, over there was a Mokum Kavias for Kedusha. And over here, what are you saying? I understand. Somebody davened Mincha under a tree somewhere. So now you're saying you're not allowed to urinate under that tree. That's crazy. Nobody ever said that. There was Lo Kavias Kedusha Tayo. No. Tony, Tana, Kamei, the Rabbi Nachman. So we don't need Shmuel to tell me that it's mutter, but the way that this was said over in the Brisa in front of Reb Nachman was that somebody was mitpalel should walk 4 amas away in order to urinate, and somebody who had urinated should walk 4 amas away in order to daven. So Nachman said to him, "Look, I understand. If you urinated, you have to walk 4 amas away. Of course. I mean, that's the Mishnah. How far away do you have to go from urine before you're allowed to daven 4 amas? Okay, that's given. But what is that supposed to mean? You davened, and therefore you have to walk away from the place that you davened for 4 amas in order to urinate? Why? I mean, if this is true, that once somebody davened somewhere, you're not allowed to urinate in that place, then forget it. I mean, nobody can urinate anywhere in Arda. I mean, if somebody's davened every place in Arda, I guarantee you. So, I mean, you're making life a little tough, you know? So what does that mean? Katstino Lukulishvili in Arda, you've made every single street and sidewalk in Arda a place where you can't urinate. That doesn't make sense. So, I mean, if you want to say this braita, let me explain to you what you have to say. You're saying it wrong. Not yarchik, yishe. You should wait as long as it takes to walk 4 amas. Yes, how does that help? I understand. I understand that if you urinated, wait for the time to walk 4 amas. Okay, I understand that that's because nitzotzot. So over there, I understand that it's very, this is not talking about waiting in order to daven, because anyway, you'd have to be marchik from the urine. It's talking about over here that before you drop, remember they used to, would pull up their robe. That's what they, or in modern terms, to close your zipper, to allow the underpant to close. You should wait 4 amot. Why? Because there's always some dribbling. And dribbling is going to get on your clothing. And therefore, it might be so bad that there's enough urine there that it's not going to be mutter for you to daven. Fine. So therefore, okay, some learn like that. The Parshas should learn enough that if there was any dribbling, that it should be already part of your begotten, your bottle to the begot. But what does it mean to say that if you davened, then mitpalel yishek dehiluch arba amais? What does that mean? Waiting four amas before urinating, why would I have to wait before urinating? Ravashi, no, you do. Because shekol dalet amas tefilah say sidura lo bepiv. Because rechushe marachashan tzvatayu, your lips are still moving with the koyach of your tefillah, and because of that, you should be careful not to urinate. I see we lost the Rebbe over here, and he would have very much enjoyed this Chassidish Vart, which I think was the Rebbe from Fashishcha that said it, but it's a beautiful Vart. Beautiful. He says, from this Gemara, we understand the meaning of the month that we call Mar Cheshvan. Because why Mar Cheshvan? Because it comes from the word Merachashin Sifate. So since Cheshvan comes after Tishrei, the person is still involved in Tshuva and in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so Mar Cheshvan is still Merachashin Sifate, so he's still connected to the Giluyim of Tishrei. I just thought it's so sweet, no? Merachashin Mar Cheshvan. It's adorable.